Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. This is Zoe, and this week we're going to be talking about everything you could possibly want to know about bone injuries and stress fractures. I know, super optimistic topic, but it's one of those things that, well, not everyone will get a bone injury, but a lot of people do. And it's sort of a bit of an unknown as to like what the recovery looks like, what to do while you're recovering, what the rehab looks like. It's all, even if you sort of like looking at it online, it's really hard to get a gauge on it. And so, and I think too, over the last 2 years with all of the COVID stuff going on, I think that a lot of people really held on to their running as this real sort of stabilizing factor and something that was really good for their mental health and something you're still allowed to do. But oftentimes that might have stayed the same, but the level of stress was so much higher. And so all of the other stresses created a situation where people were probably under-recovered and you can end up with bone injuries. And that's what happened with mine, which was, I actually forget how long ago it was now, but it was probably a year. I know we were sort of mid-pandemic, maybe. I should look at, Strava will tell me. Strava knows more than I do. But basically what had happened is I had no substantial changes at all in my, you know, like in my training or anything like that. For the most part, my training is pretty predictable. It is usually sort of, it's usually probably 80 to 90 kilometers a week. Sometimes it's 100, but that would be a bit unusual at the moment. But anyway, so nothing had really changed there, and Strava just told me it was around towards the end of 2020. So you could say peak levels of pandemic related stress there. And I just had not had a bone injury before. And I'd started to notice, and it's, I guess it's one of the things that can be kind of like hard to get a gauge on, because you'll often get, you know, like, oh, you know, like feeling a bit of tenderness along the shins, which isn't unusual, and like muscles get tight, and usually sort of responds to other things. Like the exercise physiologist I see is always fond of saying that a tight muscle is a weak muscle. So usually with things that are sort of feel like shin splints, you know, you do sort of like calf raises and weighted calf raises and banded stuff to really focus on the glutes, and you know, single leg stuff like with single leg squats or step ups, and strengthen the area, and usually it is fine. But I had a thing where I was sort of getting that sort of shin issue, and I wasn't really able to get it to sort of like calm down enough. And then I'd get it to calm down, and then I'd go for a run and then get cranky again, and then I'd calm it down and get cranky again. And then I was at that point where I was like, oh, I probably need to see someone. And then I was out for a tempo run, and it was about, I don't know, like 5 or 10 minutes in, and I just stopped running because I started feeling like a radiating pain. I was like, yeah, that's not a normal thing. So I went to the doctor. And the doctor was somewhat incensed that I went there, said, oh, I need a scan for a bone injury. And he's like, you don't have a bone injury. And I'm like, well, I think I do. So, he made it seem like he was pandering to me by giving me a referral. And I went and had that done. And then he called me and he's like, well, there's like a shadow on the scan. And I was like a stress fracture. And he's like, oh, it's inconclusive, but it could probably be that. And so chances are I'd caught, generally how like bone injuries can go is your first, the first, the sort of like the more minor thing is a stress reaction. And so chances are mine was probably like a stress reaction on the way to a fracture, or possibly it was already just a fracture and, you know, like the x-ray just hadn't picked it up. I opted not to get an MRI, which have been more conclusive, because it's expensive, and I figured the treatment was going to be exactly the same either way. So that's sort of how it all started. And it's kind of interesting because, like, having had a major period of rehab before, it's almost like a bone injury is like great news because it's simple, it will heal, it has a finite timeline, this is no problem, which may have been slightly overconfident on my part. But nonetheless, it is significantly simpler than the hours and hours and hours of rehab that I had to do before. So I wasn't actually that pumped about it. And so anyway, I thought I'd share like what I did and how I manage, you know, obviously people who I coach who have had bone injuries are seeing doctors and they're seeing exercise physiologists and that kind of stuff. But I'm still involved in terms of like creating their program and what the cross training looks like and what's this, what the strength training looks like, and also just providing some context into like what to expect with each stage. So the first part is to just to get out of pain, which is probably the most frustrating part because it's a lot of waiting. And particularly like most people will probably get bone injuries in their legs, and it's really hard to stay off your legs and let them heal. And you're in this kind of also like a bit of a catch 22 in it. Like maybe not so much in the first stage, but on the one hand, you need to let it heal. But on the other hand, you kind of need to stress the bone so it'll heal. So, but aside from that, the first phase is just about getting out of pain. So doing the things that are going to alleviate some of that inflammation. So initially you might be taking some anti-inflammatories to help with that, but also things like, you know, like doing things that just help you, you know, like whether it's like, as long as it's not painful too, you know, with sort of like doing some sort of light massage and stretching and just sort of being gentle with the leg, but just doing some things like that that are just going to help it to get out of pain. Because it's not going to be, like usually it's not massive amounts of pain unless somebody like whacks you on that exact spot. But reducing some of the soft tissue stuff around it as you're able to is good. You know, whether that's some like really light massage or some stretching, and you'll kind of, it's more like a low grade thing when you're walking around because you're not having that impact that you would have sort of through running. But the goal is to get out of pain. And so while you're doing that, things that are usually going to be beneficial in terms of a training point of view would be lower leg stuff that you can do while lying down. So they might be, you know, leg raises or clamshells or things like that. You can do most upper body stuff if you're either seated or lying down, you can also usually do some, depending on your bone injury, you do some cycling. Like if it's in the foot, then you might be like pedaling with one leg, but most people, but you the most common thing you're talking about is shin stuff, in which case cycling is fine. And any good gym that you go to, if they have like, if you're doing PT or you have group classes, are going to be able to modify things that you can do. And wouldn't be unusual for that phase to last for, you know, 4 weeks or so. Sometimes if it's just a, if it's just more of a stress reaction, you're probably looking at more like a couple of weeks, but it is, you're not going to do anything beyond those things until you're pain-free. And then after that, once you're pain-free, then you can start doing some other things, you know, like you can do some lower body strength, you can do some swimming, and you could do like pool running as well. And the main thing you want to get to in that phase is, like, essentially in that phase you can start doing, you know, squatting and deadlifting and single leg squats and step ups and all that sort of stuff, and some of your other sort of more cardio based cross training with, you know, like swimming or deep water running. But what you want to be progressing to get out of this rehab stage is single leg hops. So you want to be able to hop on your injured leg 15 times without pain. Obviously, not like doing that straight off the bat, you know, like it is like a real kind of intuition thing. Like, oh, like I did this hop, you know, like a few times, or this two-legged jump a few times, next day, no pain. Okay, I can progress from that, you know, that kind of thing. But at the end of it, what you want is to be able to single leg hop on both legs, no pain. What you want to be able to do is to be able to do a 30-minute walk, no pain. And also what you want to be able to do is do about 6 squats at about like 60% of your body weight, also no pain. When all of that strength has been developed, then you can look at going into the next phase, which would be a walk-run program, which is, again, only going to progress as long as there is no pain, which is tough because you're kind of doing something and then waiting to see what happens and then making a decision on if you progress further or if you take a step back. And it can be this real kind of fine balance and bit of like walking a tightrope, that kind of thing. And so generally how I would tend to approach things would be in that strengthening phase. It'd be like, okay, you know, like I'll do some, start with some squats. If that's okay, then I'll keep them in. If the squats go okay, then I could go to something like a step up or a single leg squat, because that's actually putting like a lot more force through the ground than if you're on two legs. And then if that's okay, all right, so from there, then I could probably progress to some jumping. And at any stage, if it was kind of okay, but like a little bit, I might start to feel it getting like a little bit irritated towards the end of the session or the next day, and like, okay, we're just going to hang out here for a little bit. So it doesn't necessarily mean I have to strip everything back immediately. And it is about finding that balance with what the pain is telling you, because one of the great difficulties with bone injuries is not only is there that kind of like bit of pain or discomfort as you are reloading the bone so it can heal, you're also going to come into, as you move on to walk run, you're also going to come up into a significant amount of phantom pain, which is probably the hardest thing. Because, yeah, like for months afterwards, I would be running along and I'd get this kind of like aching in the leg, or, you know, or it's all of a sudden I'd just be like sitting at the desk and that part of the leg would ache. And, you know, like I guess like one of the things that I used to look at it was, if that pain was moving around and not in the same spot, then it was not really something to concern myself with. And, you know, if it wasn't sort of like a sharp or a radiating pain on impact, you know, like all of those sorts of things. Because, yeah, you basically, you're getting into a situation where the brain really wants to protect you from injuring yourself again. And it is very conservative anytime there's been any kind of an injury. And I actually heard somebody describe this in a really interesting way, which was that even though we've evolved in a lot of ways, our brains are significantly less evolved than we would think. And so we still have some really strong basic evolutionary drivers. Now, you know, like back in, say, like caveman era, if you had an injury, that was how you died. Like, if you can't, like, get around, then you're not going to survive. And in some ways, our brains still think of injuries or react to injuries in that way, and that it is not just like, oh, this is an inconvenience and I have to go swimming for 6 weeks. This is like actually like a life-threatening thing that it has to protect you from. So a lot of it is about taking those little baby steps to kind of like prove to it, say, like, see, like, this is okay. We're okay. We're fine. And like rebuilding that over a period of time. So it can make you feel like a little bit like incredibly neurotic or something when you're like sort of like every time you go for a run, you're thinking about like how your leg feels afterwards and, you know, and all of that sort of stuff. And it's hard to switch off because it's sort of like you're so hyper aware of that injury and your brain is putting in a really solid effort to protect you from that ever happening again. And it's not like, unfortunately, it's not like that in there going, yeah, like you really got to work on your single leg strength and, you know, and your cool downs and like, what are you eating? No, it's just like, maybe we just don't run ever. So yeah, it is important to keep in mind that not all pain is an injury. I mean, you never want to ignore pain because it is a message, but pain isn't strongly related to tissue damage, which is a good thing to keep in mind. So a lot of times it's an important message and it can be initially related to some kind of damage, like when you start to have the feeling, oh, there's something wrong in my body and I need to like go find out what it is. And that's a really important thing, and it's really important to pay attention to it, because if you don't, then it can kind of get muted and then you can end up a lot more injured than you would be otherwise. But through the rehab process, your relationship to pain and the messaging that it's giving you has to be a lot different and a lot less panicked. So it's much more like, okay, I did this, no pain. This I did and I had some pain, but it was just towards the end. So next time, maybe I will take down the amount of time that I was doing with it, but I will still do that thing and I will stick with that for a couple of weeks and then I'll try again. So it's much more of a dynamic relationship with what you're feeling and what's going on. And it can also be helpful during those sorts of times to have someone to bounce those ideas off, whether it's a running coach or you're going to get regular massage or osteo treatment, or you're working with an exercise physiologist with your strength imbalances or whatever it is. Having somebody who is not in that headspace with you of, you know, like at any stage disaster is going to strike, is a really beneficial thing to have. So those are all the kind of things that you want to think about with bone injuries. And then you also want to think about like, okay, so like, how did we get here? Because generally speaking, it's a sign that something has been going on that we definitely wouldn't want to, you know, replicate in the future. And sometimes it's just like, hey, like my stress levels went through the roof and I did not adjust my training at all. Maybe that's something I should look at next time. Or it might be, actually, I am severely underfueled. And really think about, like, whatever you think that you need to eat on a run or in general, like through the week. Like, it's not necessarily about like eating actually on the run, although depending on the length of the run that can come into it. But just through your whole week, do you have the carbs to support what you're doing? And don't rely on, well, you know, like if I was under eating, I would look differently, because everyone has different genetics. Everyone has different ways that their bodies a portion like fat over their frame. So, you know, like you could have somebody who is of the same body composition, but they're going to look like a lot different. And I think that sometimes like a lot of people can think, well, if I was underfueled, I would look different to how I look. So therefore I'm not underfueled, which is just not the case. There's a huge sort of variance in like what you could need. And while on the one hand, like a stable weight is a good indication that you are probably getting enough, it could also be that you're so underfueled that your metabolism is in the toilet. So I think that even just to cover your bases, if you've had any kind of bone injury, I would be eating before every run, no exceptions. I don't care if it's 30 minutes. I don't care if you're going for a walk. You know, like it's very common to hear people say, especially on running message boards on the internet, that you don't need to fuel runs that are under 60 minutes because you've got an hour of glycogen. But the reality is that different types of glycogen deplete at different rates, and you will be severely impaired if your glycogen even goes down by 30%. So, and if you're someone who has historically been underfueled, the likelihood that your glycogen stores are low to begin with is extremely high. So at worst, you're not underfueled and you're just going to be fueling your runs really well by eating beforehand. And at best, it's going to be a real protective thing. So the underfueling would be a really big, that's one of the easiest ways to get a bone injury. And generally speaking, even a, I believe the research is even a calorie deficit of like 300 calories a day increases your risk of bone injuries by like 4 times. So it's not like a kind of thing of like, oh, you know, like it could like put you at higher risk. Like the risks are really high for that kind of thing, which is why it's such a common thing in running where a lot of people have a belief that it's your weight is connected to performance. And so there's like a big push to lose weight, to run faster, and then people get bone injuries and they don't run at all. So that's one thing to keep in mind of, is that it's not to say that, you know, like there are plenty of times when people are like, I would really like to lose some fat and, you know, do a bit of like body recomposition, and that's fine. But with running, you just got to be really careful with it, and you've got to be really smart with it, and you got to make sure that you are like getting what you need to fuel everything. So like having a really modest approach to any kind of calorie deficit is really important. And probably only really having that, you know, that on, you know, sort of on your easier days rather than all through the week. But so yeah, that would be another risk factor there. And then also like risk factor would be, you know, like outside stresses, not sleeping enough, all of those sorts of things are going to come into it. And it's that period of time when you're rehabbing is a really good time to think about, okay, like if I don't want to do this again, then these might be the behaviors that I need to change. So, you know, like it's easy to want to do more because it makes you feel better, but sometimes you're like, if this is going to be sustainable, I actually got to do less. Because I've got to be able to sleep more. I've got to be able to eat food before I go. Like, I've got to be able to sort of, like, do the things that make me less stressed out, you know. And it's going to be different things for different people, you know. But a lot of times, like, people find... And, yes, on the one hand, like, running is a great thing as a stress relief, but it's adding stress to the body at the same time. As much as it does that, it's adding physical stress. So, you know, you can think about the things that are going to like reduce that stress on the body, whether that is, you know, like hobbies or gardening or cooking or, you know, like watching marathons on Netflix or, you know, like going to the water, whatever it is, those things that are going to really have a positive improvement on your mindset and aren't going to feel like, a lot of times you kind of look at like sort of like what people recommend for certain things like this and look at it and it's like, oh my God, this just looks like more chores for me to do, and this does not look like it's going to be stress-free at all. This just looks like, oh, now I've got to do all of these other things on top of running. So, you know, like finding a way to decrease those stress levels in a way that doesn't sort of like add to the plate of overwhelm, you know. So in theory, you know, like doing yoga at night is a great way to relieve stress. But if you've got so much on that you get to that evening time and it actually just feels like another demand, then it's probably, it's not that yoga is not the good thing to do, but like there's got to, something else has to come out. That's like with the kids, I have a whole rule about every time they buy something, they have to throw two things out. And it's pretty much the same with training. You want to add something, you got to chuck two things out. And oftentimes the things that we want to throw out are the things that we most need, because they're the least sort of dopamine rewarding, but the most necessary. So, you know, like recently, like I've found a thing when I'm running, like get like a little bit of pain under my big toe joint, which I know 100% is because I've been slack on my calf raises and my foot contact drills. And so I'm like, right, okay, like that's got to go back in. So now I'm going to have to like potentially pull some other things out. And sometimes it's not necessarily, like sometimes it could be as simple as getting off my phone for a bit longer. doesn't have to be overly complicated. But yeah, you don't want to turn that that stress relief into like another thing that's just like on your to-do list, and then it's just like another thing to fail at. So it is good to have a little bit of, take some time to look at like what you actually think happened, because it would, generally there is a reason of some kind, and sometimes it's out of your control. Like just because you know what the reason is doesn't mean that it's necessarily like completely within your control. Like sometimes you have a predisposition to something like a bone injury because like maybe you had a like an eating disorder in puberty. And like that's not something that you have control over anymore. It just means that we probably need to work extra hard, like on all of the fueling and all of the strength stuff. And then it can just really give you then a lot of confidence moving forward that I'm doing the things that I need to do so that this isn't going to reoccur, and I can, you know, keep doing the thing that I love. And just keeping in mind that, you know, like with anything, that like the progress is not a straight line. So they're going to move forward, going to move backward. Like some weeks are going to feel really good, some weeks are going to feel kind of shitty, you know, and it's just about keeping the trend line in mind rather than sort of like focusing on what is happening that day. Don't look at what's happening that day. Look at where you are now and look at where you were a month ago, and that will give you like a much better picture of how things are going, because like bone takes time to heal itself. And on the one hand, you want to be respectful of that healing process, but on the other hand, one of the things that's going to make it heal is to for it to start having some impact as well. So you got to just like find a way to balance that and just get like quite in tune with your body in that way. And I think in that way it is a really beneficial thing, because you do get to be quite good in sort of like going, that's okay to push through, that's not okay to push through, I'm going to modify this, I'm going to, you know, do this slightly differently. And you can also like pick up a few things that you actually really like within the rehab process as well. You know, like, I mean, maybe not like might be a strong word, but I like how I feel after swimming. I still sort of like struggle get in the water, but I do like how I feel afterwards. Anyway, that is it for today. Just remember, it is a very slow process, and I just encourage you to find people who have gone through it so they don't mind you complaining about it ad nauseum. But that being said, I think that it does make a big difference to focus on the things that you are grateful for in that process, and not in a kind of like, you know, things that you think you should be grateful for, but actual things that you are grateful for in that process. I know that it's sort of, you know, it's really common to sort of like have, like, you kind of understand that gratitude practice is a positive thing, but it's really easy to kind of like get into the surface stuff and not really kind of like dig into something that would be meaningful. And I think that it can be a really supportive thing if you do the things that have real meaning. But I think if you just, and I've done both in the past, but if you just sort of like focusing on those surface things, it can just make you feel a bit shitty, you know, like, these are the things that I think that I should feel, but I don't feel. And, you know, like, I feel like a shit human because, like, people have it so much worse than me or whatever, and get into that sort of comparison game. But really sort of focusing on the things that that you are truly grateful for and do have a lot of meaning for you. And I know, like, for me, a lot of the time in my sort of like rehab processes, which is kind of like, in some ways it's always been a bit of an outlier in that, like, it doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, it goes on for months. But I, like, the things that I sort of, I guess, that I really felt at the time was that I really valued close relationships with coaches who are able to help me through that process. And, you know, and also, like, enjoyed all of the, it's amazing how much time I have when I'm not running. And so enjoyed some of those things as well. So I think that can also be really useful, but not in a way of like, I should be grateful, but in the way of, these are the things right now that have real value and meaning for me and make me feel loved and cared for, and that my disappointment is real. And, you know, because I think there's nothing worse in that process to have someone go in as like, oh, you must be loving this with all the time on your hands. Fuck you. No way. Or, you know, having a situation where somebody is not being understanding of like, oh, like, this isn't a big deal. Like, why is this a big deal to you? Like, that sort of lack of empathy can be really hard to take, particularly when you're not running and you're more likely to kill people. So yeah, that's just something to keep in mind, is that there are ways of doing that without kind of like feeding into the things that you, quote, should feel, because that's a really quick way to not feel great. So yeah, that is it for this episode of the podcast. I will be back soon, I hope. And any questions at all, just send them through to me, and I'm more than happy to have a chat about that.